This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler with Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Author Jonathan Schanzer's new book is Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and the 11 Days of War. During a pandemic, we are now into diplomacy because it starts right away after the rockets fly on the 10th and Israel responds. Diplomats start making phone calls. And an important diplomat to follow here is the foreign minister of Egypt, Sami Shoukry. Remember now, Egypt was under the Muslim Brotherhood for a few months, is my memory. However, since then, General, now President Sisi, is sympathetic, more than sympathetic to Israel, and more than challenged by Gaza himself. So his foreign minister gets busy on the phone. To call whom? To do what, Jonathan?
So Egypt begins right away. They are trying to bring an end to this. Look, they're still somewhat ambivalent about Israel, but they are allied with Israel in very clear ways against the Muslim Brotherhood and against Iran and against other extremists that have tried to exploit the Sinai Peninsula. But Egypt's number one goal is to bring Hamas to heel. And so they begin working the phones. They begin talking to everyone that they can, whether it's the UN or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. The Europeans, they are on the phone day and night, and they are working around the clock to bring about a ceasefire that will leave Hamas curtailed, that will leave Hamas penned in the Gaza Strip. There are certainly, I think, some things that Egypt tried to work out, such as additional assistance, humanitarian assistance for the people of Gaza. But at the end of the day, they do not want to empower Hamas at all. And so they were you could call them partners to Israel during this war, even though they were critical of Israel during the war, which played very well to their Arab audiences. But at the same time, they had a very clear goal. What was so interesting about this ceasefire, though, John, was that once it was declared with 2 days left before the war was over, we knew that we had about 48 hours before it would go into place. That was the moment that after 9 days of having Israel's back, Biden began to talk tough to Israel, and they began, the White House began to leak stories about how Biden and then Prime Minister Netanyahu had moments of real tension. The Israelis never really saw that tension. And from my reading of what happened during those last 2 days of war, it appeared that President Biden was trying to message to the so-called squad, or what we might now call the Hamas caucus in the American Congress, that he was trying to make sure that the progressive left saw him as sufficiently tough on Israel. But that is not how it looked in the Middle East during the previous 9 days of this 11-day war.
Ceasefire. Important here. Ceasefire. Not peace. Not in any fashion an end to this. To be continued. So lessons learned. The Abraham Accords. How does it now change the future for these serial conflicts, in your opinion, Jonathan?
Well, I would say that, you know, a fifth round of Gaza war is almost a guarantee because nothing has really changed on the ground. Iran continues to fund Hamas. Turkey continues to fund Hamas. Qatar continues to fund Hamas. And so Hamas has no reason to stop what it's doing. But I would say that maybe a mitigating factor, as you suggest, is the Abraham Accords, that the peace that Israel has achieved with the Emiratis, with the Bahrainis, with the Sudanese, with the Moroccans, and of course, don't forget the Egyptians and Jordanians that came before. There is now a sense that one gets that the Arab-Israeli conflict that you and I have been watching for decades is now shrinking. And instead, what's come up in its place is a conflict between Israel and Iran's proxies, or Turkey's proxies, if you will, or the Muslim Brotherhood's proxies. And so the very face of the conflict is changing, is shifting. How much it can be mitigated by these moderate Arab states, these pragmatic Arab states, I still don't know. But I can tell you that having watched the Arab media during the conflict itself, the tone and tenor of coverage has shifted drastically. It is far less vitriolic. Certainly, we still see it on Al Jazeera, which is owned by Qatar, but Al Arabiya and a lot of the other channels and websites that are owned or controlled by some of the more pragmatic Arab states, far less vitriolic and more geared toward finding a solution. And I found that very heartening during this recent round.
There are other bad actors to speak of. Let's start with Turkey. Is Turkey persuading Hamas to come over to Turkey's side? Turkey provides lots of refuge for Muslim brothers. Is it playing that card? And is it in competition with Iran?
I don't see competition with Iran. I see collusion with Iran. In fact, one of the things that I noted in my book was that there is apparently a new Hamas infrastructure in Lebanon designed to try to lure Israel into a two-front conflict. And this was built through collusion between Iran and Turkey. But just to be clear, Turkey is now the second largest jurisdiction for Hamas operatives in the world, second only to the Gaza Strip. And in fact, some of the key commanders, some of the key figures behind attacks, as well as financing for Hamas, are based in Turkey with the full knowledge of the Turkish government. And this has been championed by Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey himself.
Russia. Russia is a guarantor of the Assad regime and much more. However, Russia also is aware of the fact that things could quickly get out of control. What does Russia's place in Syria mean to Hamas, mean to this apparent cooperation between Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and Syria?
Well, Russia is in a very odd place. They are openly working with the Israelis to allow them to target precision-guided munitions that are being smuggled by Iran into Lebanon. This is incredibly important because these munitions could be very deadly in a future conflict. And one of the things that Israeli war planners are worried about is that perhaps these weapons could find their way to the Gaza Strip as well. The precision nature of these weapons mean that Israel's strategic targets, like their nuclear facility or their chemical plants or some of their top bases, could be targeted. So the Israelis are watching this very carefully and trying to broker an understanding with the Russians. And it is a constant challenge for the Israelis to get the Russians to understand their needs and to acquiesce.
And Iran. The fog of diplomacy gets so thick now, I can't see through it. But Iran's money, that always is the driver. Does it continue, Jonathan? Do we know its plans?
It continues to this day. And one of the things that I warn is this, that we are now amidst nuclear discussions between the United States and Iran. The United States is desperate to lure the Iranians back into what's known as the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. That's the 2015 deeply flawed nuclear deal. If we, in fact, enter back into that deal and we provide the billions of dollars of sanctions relief to the Iranian regime, it is quite possible that we would be indirectly funding Hamas and directly assisting Israel in the fifth round of the Gaza conflict. This is something that we should avoid.
The book is Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and 11 Days of War. Jonathan Schanzer, the author, he is the vice president of research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.